We read from Psalm, 8th Psalm, verses 3 and 4, familiar two verses in the book of Psalms, in this particular psalm, written by David, probably in his days as a shepherd. He was out at night, he was looking up into the heavens, he sees the moon and the stars, and I think when he wrote these two verses, he felt the same way that the songwriter did when they penned the words, "O Lord my God, when I with awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art." That's what David was feeling when that night he looked up into the heavens, he saw the stars and the moon, and he says, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained," he says, "I realize what a great God you are. I realize what an all-powerful God that you are." Now, the next verse is my text this morning. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him?" And so David says, when I look up to the heavens, and I see everything that you've made in the heavens, and then I look at myself, and I look at man, I have to ask the question, what is it about us that you would even be mindful of us, that you would visit us? I want you to notice three words in that in verse number 4 there. The word man comes from the Hebrew word enosh. Here's what it means. It not only means a human being, but it means a weak man. It means a sinful man. It means an insignificant man. It means a rebellious man. And so what David is saying, when I consider the heavens and how great you are, why would you even consider, why would you be mindful of a man that has sinned, a man that has no significance, a man that is weak? Why, God, as the all-powerful God that you are, why would you do that? The word mindful means to be respectful and thoughtful. It means that you keep somebody in your mind. You think about them. And so again, David says, because you're such a great God, and I can tell that by looking in the heavens, why would you even think and have in your mind this sinful, insignificant thing that you call man? Then notice the word visiteth. That means to be courteous and helpful. Not only does that omnipotent God keep us in his mind, but he helps us. He is our help, a very present help, the Bible says, in time of trouble. So here's what David's saying. Almighty God, omnipotent God, omniscient God, the God that doest wonders, is respectful, is thoughtful, is courteous and helpful toward a weak, sinful, insignificant, rebellious man. And so this morning, with that as a backdrop, I want to make three statements. Three things that the Lord's talked to my heart this week about what that verse is saying and the implications it has for us. Here's number one. You're somebody. I'm somebody. We're all somebody in the sight of God. The one that made the universe, that created everything in it, respects you. The one that made the sun, moon, and stars, knows their names and sets them in place, has you, listen, you as an individual, not mankind, not the world, but you as an individual in his thoughts. The one that created the earth and filled it with everything that we enjoy, the flowers and the trees and the animals, the one that made you is your help. Again, you as an individual, not the world, not all mankind. Read this verse and get this thought. The one that made everything has you in his mind, is helpful to you, and cares about you. Doesn't matter how smart or how dumb you are. It doesn't matter if you just graduated from the sixth grade or you have the letters PhD behind your name. It doesn't matter to God. You are somebody to God. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. It doesn't matter what kind of house you live in or what kind of car you drive. That doesn't matter to God. You are somebody to God. He has you in His mind. He has you in His thoughts. He is your help. Doesn't matter how good you've been. Doesn't matter how bad you've been. Almighty God cares about you. I'll go one step further. That great God, that omnipotent God, that King of Kings, that Lord of Lords, not only cares for you, He loves you. And He loves me. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." Now again, that word world is in there, but it includes every single one of us. I like that, to read that verse and say, "For God so loved me. For God so loved Daryl Manning." Put your name in there. Put your name in that verse. It's just as true that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Omnipotent, all-powerful God did that because He cares for us and loves us. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth," or proved, "His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners," He didn't wait for us to turn over a new leaf. He didn't wait for us to clean up our act. He didn't wait for us to get on the wagon, however you want to say it. He loved us just like we were and proved that love toward us, to us, when He sent His Son to die for us. God loved you enough to send Jesus to bear the price of your sins. You're somebody. God loves you. He loved you enough to have His Son come and be mocked and to be whipped and to be beat and to have His beard pulled out. He loved you enough to have Him lay down His life and be nailed to a cross and be jeered by the crowd that stood around that cross. He loves you enough that for the only time in all eternity, the only time it's ever happened, that God the Father turned His back on His only begotten Son, causing Jesus to cry out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He loved you enough to do that. He loved me enough to do that. He loved you enough to have His Son spend 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb. He loved you enough to give Jesus the power to rise up from the grave, defeating death, defeating sin, and now offers to every single person, to you because He cares for you, to me because He cares for me, to you because He loves you, to me because He loves me, offer to every single one of us the gift of life, eternal life. You are somebody. Don't let anybody tell you different. The world wants to say we're insignificant. The world wants to say that we don't mean anything to God. We're just a little speck, a little part of His creation. No. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that you are important as an individual to God. He loves you. He has you in His heart. He has you in His mind. You are somebody in the sight of God. Point number two, act like it. Act like it. If Almighty God is mindful of you, if Almighty God is helpful to you, if Almighty God loves you, then think enough of yourself. If you're here today and your sins haven't been forgiven, if God loves you that much, then think enough of yourself to receive the gift that Jesus purchased for you on Calvary. Think enough of yourself to come and get the gift that God wants you to have. Think enough of yourself to come and get your sins forgiven. Think enough of yourself to get out of the condemnation of sin. Think enough of yourself to escape hell. Think enough of yourself to get to heaven. You're somebody. God says it. Act like it. Act like it. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to stay under the condemnation of your sins. You can become a child of God. You can become one of the King kid. He's mindful of you. He loves you. He invites you to become one of His children, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him," Jesus, "to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Listen, you're somebody. You're somebody. Take God up on his offer. Take him up. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And again, I'm not talking to a certain group of people. I don't believe this hogwash that God has already selected some that's going to be saved and some that's going to be lost. I don't believe in that. Calvin was all wrong when he taught that. And those people that teach Calvinism are all wrong. God did not make that selection. He's not willing that any should perish. There's room in heaven for everybody. There's room at the cross for everybody. The blood of Jesus Christ will cover the sins of all people. And if you're here today, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter the life you've lived up to this point. It doesn't matter how much money you got. It doesn't matter how educated you are. None of that matters to God. You are somebody to God. He loves you, and he wants to save you. So act like it. Act like you're somebody. Act like you're important to God. And come to Jesus Christ and be saved. Now, most of us this morning, we're already a child of the King. We're already a member of God's family. We need to live like it. We need to live like it. Get out of the world. You're a King's kid. Live like it. The books you read and the books that I read ought to be different than the books the world reads. The language that we use ought to be different than the language the world uses. The places that we go ought to be different than the places the world go. The things that are important to us as one of the King's kids ought to be different than what's important to the people of the world. The pleasures that we have as King's kids ought to be different than the pleasures that the world enjoy. The way we treat our spouses as King's kids ought to be different than those that don't know Jesus Christ, that those that are not saved treat their spouses. The kind of parents we are ought to reflect, the kind of grandparents we are ought to reflect that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we're King's kids. Act like it. Act like it. What do you do on the Lord's Day? You're doing what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be in his house. Now, I'm going to make some people mad. There's a little football game tonight. And if you decide that you're going to stay home and watch that football game instead of coming to church, that's exactly what I'm talking about. What would a king's kid do? King's kid would not forsake the assembling of themselves together as the manner of some is. Look, it ain't going to make any difference to the outcome of that game whether you see the first part of it or the last part of it. Most of you want to watch it for the commercials. They'll show all those tomorrow anyway. So you don't need to be there for the commercials. The game's not going to be decided till the last few minutes. You'll be home by then, I promise you that, unless you go out for a hamburger and stay till midnight. But you'll be home by then. And so if you're a King's kid, you need to choose church over this little football game that they're going to play up in Minnesota. As a King's kid, we ought to dress different than the world. As a King's kid, we ought not to watch what the world watches on TV. As a King's kid, the music that we listen to ought to be different than the world listens to. As a King's kid, the attitude that we have toward money ought to be different than the world attitude toward money. As a King's kid, it ought to determine the kind of employee we are, the kind of employer we are, and it ought to determine how we live our life. We're a King's kid. Act like it. Act like it. Again, you're somebody. The omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, mighty God of creation is mindful of you. He has you on his heart. He has you in his mind. He loves you. Act like it. If you're not part of the family, join it this morning. Say, preacher, how can I join God's family? You join God's family by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You admit you're a sinner. You believe that when Jesus died on Calvary, he died for your sin. You confess with your mouth. You ask him to be your Savior. And the Bible says he'll save you. You're somebody to God. He paid the price for your sin as an individual. Take it. Take it. And if you're already part of the family, then act like it. Act like it. And then number three, if God Almighty is respectful and thoughtful and helpful, toward those that are weak, sinful, insignificant, rebellious, then don't you think that he wants us to treat them the same way he does? I do. I do. If Almighty God respects and is thoughtful and is helpful to every person, again, regardless of their education, regardless of their wealth, regardless of their station in life, God is not a respecter of persons. He's not a respecter of the things that we tend to judge people by. And if God is not a respecter of those things, and he treats every, he has every person in his mind, he is a help to every person, then I expect that he expects his children to treat those people the same way. Jesus told a story one time about two men that came into the temple. And I'll put it in modern language. One was a homeless bum. When he came in, he probably stunk because he hadn't had a bath in weeks and weeks and weeks. His beard was probably long, and his hair was probably long, and the clothes that he wore were probably tattered. He came in, and at the same time, somebody of means came in. You could tell this person had money. He was well kept, and his clothes were neat and clean and expensive looking. And Jesus said, "If when these two men come into the temple, you tell this bum to go sit in the back where nobody can see him, and you bring this man of means up to the front and set him in the front so everybody can see him," what Jesus said is, "You're not doing right. You're not doing right." You see, both of those people were created by God in the image of God. Both of those people have a never-dying soul. Both of those people are either going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. Now here, if we're not careful, here's what we'll do. We'll be just like that crowd that day in the temple. A homeless bum comes in. Doesn't smell good. Doesn't look good. Shabby clothes, long hair, long beard. What are we going to do with them? What are our ushers going to do? Are they going to help him find a seat? The people he sits down next to, are they going to stay sitting there next to him? I mean, they'll be going. How are we going to treat them? And then somebody comes in. Person of means, look good, smell good. You can tell they have it all together. Are we going to set them anywhere and not be afraid of what the repercussions are? Here's what Jesus said. In my eyes, they're both the same. There's no difference. They both were created by me. They both have a soul that's going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. They both need to be loved and cared for and helped. And God says, I'm going to do that to both of them because I'm not a respecter of persons. And I think that he would say to his children this morning, the kids, the king's kids, to us, he would say, there ought to be no difference in how you treat them either. You ought to love both of them. You ought to care for both of them. You ought to help both of them. What is man? Weak, sinful, insignificant, rebellious. That thou, Almighty God, Creator God, the great God, respects man, is mindful of man, visited man. When we think about who God is and what we are in comparison to God, it ought to cause us to ask the same question that David did. Why would you do that? But then we ought to come to the realization he did that because he loves us. And we're something to him. Act like it. Act like it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this simple reminder from your word that in your eyes, every single person is somebody. Every single person has been visited by the Almighty God. Every single person is in your heart and in your mind. Every single person you love. And I pray, Father, if there's just one here this morning that's never received Jesus as their Savior, they would understand that love this morning. They would see it. They would see the price that Jesus paid for their sins, and they would come and take it. They would come and take the gift of life that Jesus offers to them. They can't get it anywhere else. They would come to Him and get that gift of life. And so, Father, I pray for every person here that doesn't know Christ, is not saved, that in the next few moments, they would confess their sin and call out to the only one that can save them, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to examine our lives. We're the children of God. We're part of His family. We're a King's kid. Help us to live like it. To live like it. I pray that You'd bless this invitation. If there's people here that need to be saved, help them to come. If there's people here that need to be baptized, help them to come. If there's people here that need to join the church, help them to come. Help us to listen to the Holy Spirit and be obedient. If there's something in our lives that shouldn't be there, maybe we need to come to the altar this morning and get it right with You. Help us to do all of that. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.